Welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. Today, in this episode, I am joined by Caitlin Kirchhoff. She's part of Norfolk Run Club down here in Hampton Roads, and what an awesome opportunity I have to bring her on. She's going to talk to us about what you do when you are a runner in community and you are injured. We're going to talk about her connection to this community, how she got started, but also this injury journey that she has been on for the past year or so as she has tried to cope with this idea of not being able to run and yet still wanting to be a part of her running community, and what that has looked like, what it has felt like, and what it has meant to her. So let's dive into this conversation. Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you've had this really interesting previous year or so as you've been not necessarily on the run, but getting back to get on the run. And I want to explore that, but let's start where we always do with what is your community and what makes your community awesome?
I primarily run with the Norfolk Run Club. I used to run a little bit with the Jordan Bridge runs, and every now and again, I'll pop into some of the Murphy's runs on the Saturdays.
Nice. And what do you love about these communities? Like, what makes them so amazing to be a part of?
My communities, to me, feel a lot like home. I moved here in 2019, so as an adult, it's not quite as easy to make friends, but every community that I've run with, whether it's NERC or Norfolk Run Club or the Jordan Bridge people or any other group for that matter, I've found a home and a bunch of people that I can relate to on more than one different levels.
And I think that especially plays a big role as we look at where you've been for the last year. And before we jump into that, to explore, where did your running journey begin?
So long story short, I was a college student, again, for the second time, continuing my education to become a physical therapist assistant. I was holding down four jobs and I was struggling big time with my mental health just due to being busy and having all of those responsibilities and trying to make ends meet. So on a whim, decided that I needed to dedicate more time to me and focus on my well-being instead of everything else around me in the universe. So I signed up for my first half marathon, which was the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in Virginia Beach. And that was even before I moved here. And I trained all summer, and that was just a dedicated, I need to focus on me time. So it went from me trying to get healthy, exercise, get outside a little bit, to totally falling in love to not only running and races and training, but the community here in Hampton Roads. And honestly, the running community that I've experienced being an out of towner, just coming down here for Shamrock and Rock and Roll, was one of the big reasons that I actually came down here. I feel supported by the community, and I was able to find friendships that honestly I'll never forget and mean the world to me being here. So I made the move and I continued to show up, train, and then I've made friendships. And fortunately, our idea of bonding is going on a long run together and talking. So it just kind of became a big staple in my life versus just the I need to do this to stay healthy. And now it's, this is my life. These are my people. Mm-hmm. And this is what connects me in this area.
And so that really starts to take a step as you start getting involved in a lot of these different groups. So what sort of community do you find when you take it from I'm doing Shamrock and Rock and Roll, living in a different community, and then moving here to this area and starting to find community through run clubs? What does that look like for you?
I mean, I was between jobs. So like I had just finished my PTA program. I had any options. I could take my board exam in any state and I chose here. It just felt like home to me. Like being here, surrounding myself with the running community, seeing the people cheer and standing on the sidelines, no matter how fast or how slow you are, the community service that they all provide. It just felt like the whole picture that I'd been missing my whole life. So coming here was an easy choice. Not only, I mean, I had a pretty cool setup with my living situation and I had all the availability in the world to go anywhere, but I've always felt a sense of connection here. And I decided to chase that down and I have not looked back.
Yeah. And so you start to get, you know, yourself involved in this community. Like you mentioned, you work in physical therapy. What happens when the person who's helping runners has their own sort of struggles? And I think that that's one of the things that connected us to get us on together. It's one of the reasons you reached out to me. So can you take us back to what your injury was, what you did, and how that sort of begun this journey of struggling, not with running, but struggling in where your place is in the community, what you're doing in this community? Because I think for a lot of runners, when they get injured, they really begin to kind of question that sense of space. So what happened? Can you walk us through that story?
Yeah. How far back do you want me to go? On and off, like little things that have only put me out a couple of weeks, but the big thing was this year.
Yeah, I think that a lot of runners can empathize with the little injuries that take you out, you know, whether it's, you know, maybe a little bit of tendonitis, something, even when it flares up that you have to sit out for a few weeks. But what is this big injury that happens that really sidelines you for like a good amount of time?
So I started to experience some pain in my quad. In October, I ran the Chicago Marathon, raced it, and then I paced a friend for the Marine Corps Marathon. Was not planned that way. I had to defer from the previous year due to just a tendonitis type of injury. So I decided to take the Marine Corps a little bit easy, have some fun, see the sights, and try to help out a friend. And so I did not plan to run two races, but I did. Went great, but I started to have some knee pain right before my Marine Corps race. And my physical therapist was awesome. He was like, you know, it could be like a little bit of this. So just try like some single leg wall sits right before, load up that knee, and then it should feel better, which it did. I got through the race, had the most fun, took some time off like we all do after a major race, and then started to train again for the upcoming spring season, just kind of build back my base. And that knee pain came back, and it came back with a vengeance. And it started as knee pain, and then I was kind of pushing through it, but noticed I was limping. So I was limping most before run. I would warm up like a mile or two, limp would go away. But if I'd stop at a stop sign or as soon as I was done running, that limp would come back. Didn't really know why. I was just limping. And sometimes our body can do that if there's an underlying injury, even if you don't experience a ton of pain. So I had started to have some suspicions of what was going on. And then I ended up trying to run, gave it a week, whole rest for a week or two. And then I went back and my entire quad cramped up. Fortunately, I work in the field I do. And I was kind of talking to my coworkers about what was going on. And one of my coworkers was like, let's try a couple of tests. She ran a few tests on me and she instantly had some concerns for a stress fracture. So went to the doctor. Stress fractures typically don't show up on x-rays and mine did. So I went for an MRI, which confirmed I have a femoral shaft stress fracture.
So what did that immediately mean? Obviously, you had to stop running, right? Medical side of this, you know, sure, a lot of doctors automatically, you know, 4 to 6 weeks without running, without oftentimes even putting any pressure on it. So what did this immediately mean for you beyond just the idea of, okay, I'm probably not running for like at least a month or two?
So with my other injuries, I've been told like, hey, take a couple weeks off, you know, rest. And so it's kind of been more of an annoyance because I'm like, oh man, I got this race, or oh man, like, you know, what am I going to do? Run club or like hanging out with my friends in the way capacity. Sometimes we'll run together. So those have all been a more of an annoyance. And it started out that way. It's like, oh man, this is like an annoyance. Like I, you know, I got these plans. Like this is the way I hang out with some of my people, connect with my community. And then my doctor was like, oh no, like you're not just not running. You're not doing anything. So I had to go on crutches for 6 full weeks, nothing. I even asked if I could do like leg raises or bridges, nothing. I couldn't ride a bike. Like, absolutely no physical activity for 6 weeks.
What did that mean for your interaction with the running community at that time? When you have these 4 to 6 weeks where you're not running, what were your interactions with the running community? Were you going to your run clubs? Were you going to races? What were you doing?
I went into a panic and a spiral with my diagnosis because a lot of us runners, running is an identity to us. And it is my identity as I am a runner. This is my community. And I just, it just, the brakes just slammed. I was like, well, this is who I am. What, how is this going to work? Like, I was in a spiral. I can't go to run club. I can't do these activities. I can't do these races. Cause I was like kind of toying with a couple different out of town races and traveling to visit people to do them. And I panicked, honestly, and going like, just, it was just hard mentally and emotionally to lose that part of your identity. How am I going to connect to the people that mean so much to me? So big thing for me was trying to stay involved in the capacity that I could at that time. So I was still showing up to my run clubs on crutches, and it was amazing the outpouring of love that I received. People coming up to me, even people I didn't know, asking how I was, giving their support to me, and really showing me the love that all of run clubs offer to everybody, no matter who you are or what you do. It was just endless love. So I made a commitment to go every Wednesday to Norfolk Run Club, regardless of my status of injury, because it gave me not only a routine that kept me excited throughout the week, kept me connected to my community.
You know, you talk a little bit about how your community, your affinity is towards Norfolk Run Club primarily, but also, you know, there is the extension of the entire Hampton Roads community. But sticking with Norfolk Run Club, what kind of support were folks offering you? Because I know that people can kind of look, and you don't want them to feel fully sympathetic towards you and like be sad. Like you want to be sad yourself, right? And all these things. But what were those interactions like? And I have to imagine that there was a lot of like grief and there was a lot of toughness in being there. But how were they supporting you? What were they doing? How were they interacting with you during this time?
One of my favorite things, especially being in the field I'm in, was not only people asking, you know, what's going on with you? Like, why are you on crutches? But it was also this is what I've dealt with in the past, and them opening up about themselves. And I feel like a lot of times people, you know, if you show up like on a crutch, I mean, it's pretty obvious or a cast what's going on, but a lot of people have underlying issues that we might not know about, like a tendinopathy or what have you. So it was great having people connect over the injury and be like, oh, I just got over an injury, or, oh, I'm dealing with this. So not only was I getting support from people communicating with me, but I was also to provide it as well. So it meant a lot to me that people were talking to me and being like, I've been going through this. How are you managing? And we could kind of bounce ideas off each other of what was keeping us going. And it was awesome just to have that support, but also great to have people like, what can I help you with? Like, what do you need right now? So, you know, one of my grievances was grocery shopping. I hate grocery shopping. Carry your groceries. How do you get them out? The bag would rip on the crutch and food would be all over the floor. And I think I would have a breakdown every single time I would go grocery shopping. So simple little acts of favor that people are like, hey, how can I help? Can I carry a bag for you? Can, you know, when do you go to the grocery store? I can come with you and help you grab a few things. So not only was it giving, but it was also me giving back to those people and really building a connection with people that were also dealing with things that were going on in their lives as well.
And so you have this community that's coming around and supporting you, you know, in all honesty, how is that making you feel about the running community and about your own, you know, physical healing as you're coming through it?
It definitely makes me 100% I made the right decision moving to this area. You know, it was a hard move. Like, I knew no one here. I came here by myself, and it just really solidified how I feel about Hampton Roads in general and about our run community that we have here. Just having all these people that just care and they're there and helping and, you know, just having someone to like crack a joke to make me laugh. Like sometimes mm-hmm. I not laugh because I was so miserable, but having people there in all aspects of life, whether you're performing or injured, it's totally amazing.
And I think for a lot of runners, you know, it's tough because you have the people who get injured more often than not, like me. And you have the people who they never really, you know, have those like debilitating injuries that like keep them out. And yet I do think there is this sense of community within running of knowing, like you said earlier, this is like, it's so attached to our identities in a lot of different ways that there's at least that feeling of people empathizing with, man, I can't imagine if I couldn't run how I would feel. And so as you're making your progress back and you're coming back, you know, maybe we'll move from that 4 to 6 weeks of no running as hopefully, you know, you started to wean off the crutches and begin to walk and begin to do PT and begin to do, you know, get back into that shape. What are these other ways moving from your run club as being very emotionally supportive? How do they then move, you know, to continue the emotional support, but then to move for physical support as well? You know, are they offering to walk with you, offering to jog with you? You know, are they there as a part of that recovery journey beyond just, you know, the emotional support of cracking jokes or even just offering to help take you to the store? You know, what's that physical recovery that they're helping you with as well?
Yeah, it's been great. I've met a lot of people that are also dealing with their own injuries in different capacities. And I actually made a new friend in the last couple of weeks that is also having an injury. And her and I would walk together during a run club as soon as I was cleared to actually walk. And it was nice having someone to talk to. And she probably felt the same way, that she had someone to talk to and build new relationships with people. So I did a lot of walking. I've been capable of riding my bike a little bit. And I like been very big on, you know, having, if like, if you're, you can bring your bike too, we'll ride together. So, people have been doing all the above. Like I've had someone to, if I've had people to walk with, there's people there regardless of what I can and can't do.
And I think as someone who works in the field of physical therapy, it might be, you know, I hope in a lot of respects, it's not a different answer than a lot of folks would get, but especially as one who works in the PT field and especially one who has now received this sense of support, what has it meant for you as you've recovered, as you look at this community, you talk about this friend who is in the midst of her injury, and what have you learned in this injury time that you're now offering to others, that you're now offering to that person as they're going through their difficult situations, where they're experiencing their own now highs and lows?
Oh, so much. I've learned this injury has been the worst injury I've had, but I've learned the most from it. And I have very much been humbled from this injury. And I understand how it feels to feel isolated at this point, to feel like sometimes I get a little teary-eyed talking about this.
Understandable.
To feel alone and to feel like you're going through this alone, but you know, the community was able to give back to me in such a big way that I know how that feels now. And I'm trying to provide that to people I see around me as well that are also going through it. Or if someone's like, hey, I know you like work in this field and I'm having this, can you help me? You know, I'm more willing to be like, okay, let's, you know, I mean, I've always been willing every time anyone's mm-hmm. ever asked me a question. But, you know, really taking the time to really help them and guide them back with my knowledge of the physical therapy component, but also the mental, emotional component of, you know, feeling alone or being devastated about an upcoming race or whatever it is, trying to be there for them both emotionally and physically.
Do you think from the physical side that there is a lot that's neglected in the emotional aspects of being injured, especially as people who are prone to just going full on into a physical activity sport?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot during this injury. A lot of us like to do it for the Strava. And, you know, we want to throw up good numbers and good paces and stuff. And I've learned a lot from this very humbling injury that I'm going to be focusing myself more on going into zone two type of training, like lower heart rates, lower paces. Because the faster you get, the more intensity you provide to your runs, the more impact is going for your legs and stuff. So you can almost imagine if you're running as fast as you can all the time or running higher paces and your heart rate's a little bit higher, you're going to be putting more stress on the body. So trying to taper that back down and be like, you know what? Like, I don't care what I look like. I don't care if I can't keep up with people. Like, I'm doing this for me and to stay healthy. And another big thing that I've been exploring a lot about, not only intensity and that type of stuff, is nutrition. I think that was like a big thing that might have contributed to my injury itself. So I've been really big on trying to promote just positive thinking towards our food and how much we need. And I know in my line of field, I work in pediatrics and we see a lot of young girls with stress fractures and, you know, boys too, of course. But my passion project is becoming this year is trying to build a community that supports young athletes, especially young boys and girls, teaching them like nutrition is important. You need to eat to regrow, to grow, to perform versus, you know, there's can be such a negative appearance with running where, you know, you feel like you have to look a certain way or you do a certain thing and just trying to promote positive emotions and feeling towards, you know, body image and, you know, you need to fueling appropriately to prevent these long lasting injuries that can affect you for months or even for a lifetime.
And so as you're looking out and you're seeing your own recovery in this aspect, we spoke at Shamrock, you were upright, you were standing tall, you were running, but I think you were well on your way back. And even now, as you're getting back, what are some of those ways that clubs, run groups, you know, people who are within this area and space, what are some better ways that we can not just help support people who are going through injuries, but how can we even help to support on the front end of things in sort of that area that I like to call prehab, right? Where it's not preventing the injuries, but maybe just helping to make sure that we're caring for folks before, during, and even after all of these things happen. What are some of those maybe pieces of advice that you want to offer run communities that are forming around to help folks be able to create space for not just folks with injuries, but as folks heal, but even ways to help folks have the knowledge to prevent some of these things too?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our running community, half of them probably don't work in sports, but other half of them do work in a healthcare. So, you know, connecting with individuals that might have knowledge and you can ask questions to. Like I know I've been like a willing participant. If someone has a question, you know, when it comes to physical therapy or aches and pains, I'm always there to just be like, you know, okay, like I hear you, like, how's this been going or what's going on here? You know, so educating ourselves with the people around us. If you don't know the answer, I know Norfolk Run Club in particular, I know Direct Performance will come out every now and again and he'll provide some quick analysis, some advice, you know, and if you need to go in, of course, they're more than willing to see you. So connecting through the community, I know like Running Etc. also offers, I think Movement is Medicine has been there before that have offered like, you know, free little screens and stuff. So just being aware of the events that are going on and promoted by our community, connecting with other like healthcare individuals and just like being involved in all those aspects, you can educate yourself and try to grow as a runner and prevent these ongoing injuries.
Yeah. And I wonder how much of that role that a lot of our run communities, a lot of our clubs, a lot of our groups, how much of this space they need to be in, considering the fact that, like you said, you know, even if you're someone who trains in a zone two heart rate zone, you still think about the number of miles that you put on your legs and what that means for you. And so to be able to establish this knowledge base within our communities so that people have the information to care for themselves. I can think of so many times during my own running career where I just stupidly ran, you know, something hurts, and then I just keep running and I keep going in the name of mental health, because I use running a lot for like a therapeutic release. But also just because, you know, I enjoy running and I don't want to stop running. And whenever I have to stop running, it irritates me. And so that knowledge base, I think, like you're talking about, it really helps to build and establish for folks to know and understand their own body and when their own body hurts. But then I, you know, I love this concept of it happening within these groups, within these clubs of, you know, whether it is running, et cetera. And, you know, listeners will remember John LaMagna coming on and talking about all the stuff they do there. You know, whether it's within Tidewater Striders or even our local clubs of bringing these people in, and it almost becoming a reiteration of the club saying, we're here for you, no matter sort of what state of your run journey you're in. And I think that listeners can hear from your journey as you're recovering from this injury and hearing from your knowledge in the field of physical therapy, of medicine, of healthcare, to be able to say that the more knowledge that we have in this space, I think the smarter it makes our communities, because not only are we aware of when our own bodies are hurting or attuned when someone else tells me that someone's hurting, but also that it's not a, it doesn't need to be a scary thing where the person needs to feel exiled, but where we want to be able to welcome them in. And even in a lot of ways, like bring them closer so that they know they're a special part of the community. I remember last year when I hyperextended my knee, one of the greatest things was J&A reaching out to me and asking, even though that I'm injured, if I'd be willing to volunteer at races and I'd be willing to help out with a lot of these things. And just the amount of support that you get through that, of people bringing you in closer. So you have, you know, you've been through those 4 to 6 weeks. Like we said, you know, I haven't seen you on crutches lately. I think you burned them, right? I hope. What does running look like for you now, here in May of 2024?
It is not going. Itching to get back. I'm still, ironically, J&A also emailed me today. So I got to look at those dates and see if I can get some volunteering going there. But, you know, I just started deceleration training. So that's a positive step. Strength training, I'm in the gym, I'm taking classes. I'm hoping in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'll be a walk to jog program. But for the time being, as I'm just putting in the work and, you know, staying connected with my community has been a big thing. So just, you know, just working hard and hoping the harder I work, the faster I can get back. Or even if I don't get back any faster, the more stable I'll be going back into my running career.
And what role do goals play in that? I think that's the next big question that people ask when they come back from injury, because I think the mindset that we can get ourselves into is, I am quote unquote fully healed, fully recovered. I feel 100%, and now I need to go and do X. And I think for a lot of us, that might not actually be feasible. And so what role are goals playing in your recovery? And when I say goals, I just mean anything. Like, what is this idea of looking towards things? And how are you assessing what you are looking towards in your running journey?
Oh, I love goals. I love that they're so dynamic. They're set in stone. And it gives you something to look forward to at the end of the day. So, you know, every part of my journey this past year has been, okay, I'm here. What's my goal for here? And then when I check mark that, I'm like, okay, now I'm here. What's my goal for here? So it's always evolving and always changing. So it always gives you something to look forward to, no matter what your goal is, whether it's qualifying for Boston or, you know, running your first 5K and just finishing, or like running, you know, I have a really good friend, lives in Pennsylvania, but, you know, one of his big goals was to be able to run a half marathon without walking, you know, so every goal can, you know, is there to help make us psyched, to help us train, but also to give us something. And once we reach there, you know, we can create a new goal, and they can be different for every single person at every single ability level. So it's really awesome, you know, to just keep in mind where you are physically, you know, whether it's you're on crutches right now or you've never run a 5K in your life, you know, you can be like, you know, my goal is to run one or walk run one, or, you know, I want to I want to run my first 5K without taking a walk break or whatever it is that you can build one based on where you are in life.
And now I remember when I had my ACL surgery, you know, one of the first things they asked me when I popped back in or when I got into physical therapy, you know, they give you what are the short range goals? Like, what do you hope to accomplish in the time that we're together? And you asked those when I had my peroneal tendonitis. And then, but also what are the long-term goals? So, I mean, I think a lot of us can imagine that a lot of your short-term goals focus in around, you know, getting back to walk jog, getting back to a full run program. What are some longer-term goals that you'd like to reach as you continue this recovery process?
So I think a big thing for me has been, I've been so focused on racing and getting PRs and stuff. So like, of course, I'm going to have those goals. Like, you know, I want to get back and run another marathon and just go out there and crush it. But I've got some other new goals too. And I think for such a long time that my goals were so focused on performance that I forgot a lot about, you know, maybe some more personal goals. So some of my personal goals going back into it is I love giving back to the community. The community's already given so much to me. Mm-hmm. I hope to get the pacing. I really want to get involved there. I love pacing. I love getting people to those goals. I love being a provider to get them to their goals, whether it's, you know, again, getting a certain time at a race or being like, I don't want to walk, you know, and just encouraging someone for the entire race. So my goal is to get more involved in that aspect, volunteer more. And I spoke a little earlier about my passion project, working with youth athletes. I'm hoping especially promote, you know, positive well-being and really promoting, you know, everybody is a runner's body. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, how many miles you do, or if you only run once a week, you're still a runner at the end of the day. And just promoting that just overall well-being, especially in youth when they're such in a vulnerable stage of life, and, you know, bringing awareness to like, this is what you need. And this is, you know, don't feel guilty about, you know, the nutrition you need, or, you know, having someone to look up to is going to be really important for me. So it's kind of like a passion project of mine to try to get that off the ground and running eventually.
And, you know, to lift up, and for listeners who maybe, you know, it glosses over, but to hear not how much maybe like the injury has changed this thought. It seems like maybe a lot of this stuff have been percolating for a while, but I wonder how much within this injury you've had that opportunity to really step back and reflect on the state of your running journey and to really think, okay, you know, I have been doing a lot of racing lately, and, you know, maybe, you know, I'm paying for it right now, but, you know, to take that moment and reflect and say, hey, yeah, I would love to do more of this. I'd love to have this sort of place in the community. I'd love to do these kinds of things. And I thought that was really interesting hearing in that way from you, how the goals may even change, right? You know, you go into an injury and your entire focus is like, all right, I need to get back running because I need to break X time in X race. And the more time that you have in reflection on that, to kind of see that transition, to see that change, and then to say, okay, it's not just about the time. And I feel this a lot in myself right now, where I still have this desire to want to run a one and a half hour half marathon. Like, I feel like I can do it. But to also feel that steadiness of saying, if it doesn't happen in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years, that's cool, because there are these other awesome things that I can do too, because I definitely have been feeling that itch to help pace. And especially with a lot of the stuff I do in the community of helping to coach up some youth, you know, I see a lot of parallel stuff in there of things that I've been doing in the last couple of years that I've been able to take a bigger step forward in the midst of these injuries, because I've had opportunities to reflect a little bit more intently on them and see what it's like to do that. And to even think and wonder how much the community that's around you that supported you has helped play a role in that as well. But Kaylin, it's been great here and having you on. You know, I want to hit some of these end of podcast questions as we wrap up our time today. So what is your favorite distance to run?
Oh, you all are going to think I'm crazy. I I love training for the marathon. I don't actually like running 26 miles, but I do love the training. I love the commitment. I love the fact that, you know, it doesn't feel like a job to me. It's like, I get to do this. And I feel pretty cool being able to be like, oh, I just knocked off a 20-mile run, you know, and just being so grateful that my body allows me to do that. It is just so much great positive feelings with that experience. But my favorite race would probably be the half.
What is your favorite thing to eat post-run?
Ooh, it depends. I usually am more of a savory person, but I will say after most of my long runs, especially in the summer, I'm usually going to the grocery store, getting a frozen pizza and an ice cold Coca-Cola.
What is something motivating that has happened on the run or beyond? I guess for you, you're probably a little beyond right now.
Yeah, I mean, this community, period. You know, just the people that reside in this area, the people that view themselves a runner, or maybe the people that don't even think that they're runners, but they are. Like, everybody has been so incredible. And, you know, even just seeing someone accomplish a task that they never thought was possible is the most motivating factor for me. You know, sometimes volunteering when you're giving the medals at the end, or standing at the finish line, just cheering people on when they look over at you and smile, or they're huffing the medal around their neck and you're like, I just ran a 5K. You know, it's amazing. They can do it. Like, I can also motivate myself to do something uncomfortable too.
Awesome. And lastly, Kaylin, can you give our listeners a reason to find and join their local run group?
It gives you a home. You know, some of our worst moments, some of our best moments, no matter what's happening around you, someone in this running community is going to be there and they will care. I've never met a community of people that care more than this Hampton Roads area does. You know, if you can't find a run club that maybe you connect with, or like a run club, there's tons more. I think there's one like every night of the week and even on the weekends. That you can find your right place, your right niche group of people, and they will be there cheering you on every step of the way, no matter if you're injured, uninjured, you know, racing in Boston, or just running your first 5K. You know, there's going to be someone there regardless, and being a part of that community is an incredible experience. So I always advise people, even if you're just a little curious, or even if you can't even run a full mile, just keep showing up. You're going to make friends. And even if you're there just to walk or just to hang out sometimes, like, these people are the best and nicest people I've ever met in my entire life, this whole community of runners.
Boy, if that doesn't get y'all out to your clubs, I don't know what will. Kaylin, it has been so great having you on. You know, I hope that you continue to make those strides forward in this journey, and I hope you get back to running soon.
Me too. I'm ready. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Gosh, what an awesome episode. I so much enjoyed talking to Kaylin, hearing about her journey, everything that she has been going through, especially in this last year, as she has worked to recover from this injury. You know, if this is your first episode, if you joined us here to listen to Kaylin's story, go back and listen to some of these other episodes that we've had come through the Run, Build, Grow podcast, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. And to learn and hear Kaylin's story, but then to hear how others in this running space are helping to build community, it's such a great and amazing thing to be happening, and for us to continue to learn how we can be better community together and what it looks like for us to help one another, to be there for one another as fellow runners, as fellow journey people on this run journey. And so make sure to check that out. Listen to those other episodes. Make sure to follow and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast listening app. If you're struggling to find it and you're listening to it on the website on runbuildgrow.com, you know, head on over and look and see. I've got links to all of the regular podcasting apps, podcasting sites. So check that out and find it over there. Make sure to share it with a friend. I would love it if you would leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. You can leave a comment on the episode if you love something special about this episode. You can leave it on Spotify there. If you do it on Apple, you can just leave a review on the podcast in general. And lastly, if you would be so kind to help out, continue to keep this podcast going as I come into this space, as I continue to help to share these stories of running community, help to support this podcast and the entire Run and Rev network by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. You can leave a one-time tip. If you just love this episode and you want to help to support and give a one-time tip, or you can become a monthly member and leave a monthly donation of any amount, and you will get shout outs in the next podcast as well as any podcast after that. And so if you could help to support this podcast to continue to make it everything that I hope it can be, a way for us to all to learn, to love, and grow together as we build on and off the run. Make every mile count.